What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
I tell you, we are going into a new year. So many new opportunities, so many new projects. One of the things that I want to do is I want to make some new friends. I want to meet some new people. I had breakfast this morning. As you know, my family and I are in Houston visiting extended friends and family for the holidays. And I had breakfast this morning before the show with some folks that I have known since I was in my early 20s. And I love each and every one of them. And I said, you know, I want to meet some new folks. I want to meet some new friends. And I'm so grateful that 2023 brought some new friends into my life. And one of them is Andre Creighton. He is the host of the Financially Fit podcast and the CFO of Turn Signal, one of the hottest apps in the country. And, you know, just meeting Andre and learning from him and, you know, with all of his financial knowledge and expertise and getting to know his bride and his new baby, it has just been a blessing to my life. Just, you know, having his youthful and knowledgeable energy. I tell you, sometimes I'm around him and after that, I feel like I could just go another 10 or 15 miles because I'm like, you know what? He's just brought so much new and young energy into my old lady life. I love it. And so I was so grateful that he's joining us at a holiday weekend to come on the show to give us some of his brain matter because I saw a story in the Washington Post that said banks are facing tougher capital requirements. And those new rules are going to increase even the racial home ownership gap that is already wide enough in this country. And so, Andre, I'm so glad you're joining us, courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Welcome to the Shaletta Show. You are no stranger. You have been here before, but this is a new topic that we'll be discussing. And I want you to talk to me about this home ownership gap.
Yeah. First of all, you know, thank you, Shaletta, for having me, you know, on the show. And, you know, this is a particular topic that I'm really excited to discuss. You know, I share those same sentiments that you had said about me. You've definitely been a favorable person in my life as well. And I look forward to the opportunity here to discuss. So, you know, as Shaletta said, you know, Washington Post came out about 3 weeks ago with a really, really interesting article that discussed how the racial ownership gap, home ownership gap, is widening, and you know, new rules are making it worse, right? And really, what they're getting down to is Basel III endgame proposal. So, what Basel does is there's Basel I, II, and III, and Basel I focuses on credit risk. Basel II focuses on the operational, strategic, and those risks, and then Basel III is really focusing on that liquidity risk. And that's what we really want to talk about today. So with banks, they are facing a lot of requirements and things that are starting to put a little bit of strain on their liquidity. And now with Basel III endgame proposal, you know, banks might be required to have 20% more capital that they have to keep on hand, which, mm-hmm. you know, is going to result in increased borrowing costs for lower and middle class Americans. And, you know, when you think about holistically who that affects, right, you think about lower and middle class Americans, you think about those that are first time home buyers, you think about small business owners and farmers, right, the people that truly are relying on debt and credit to be able to purchase equipment for their businesses, the people that are required that don't have a lot of cash on hand, so they're mm-hmm. they're hoping to, you know, leverage debt to be able to buy their first home. You know, those are the people that are truly going to be affected by this. You know,
and this is the thing. You know, we already have so many things stacked against us. This home ownership gap is wide. When we start thinking about rules, Andre, we start thinking about things that are going to help alleviate those barriers. But these rules seem to be increasing the barriers.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there are some things out there that, you know, can help alleviate that. You know, there's non-traditional bank lending. So it's what they call the shadow banks, right? You know, shadow banks are those that are not necessarily backed by deposits. So you can think of, you know, some places like Quicken Loans, places like that, that maybe not, you know, it's not a traditional bank and people aren't depositing funds into that company or organization, right? But, you know, and that's a good opportunity for people that, you know, might not be able to get lending through a bank, but, you know, that comes with the cost too, right? You're going to see higher interest rates. You know, and also, you know, it's really a temporary fix. You know, I think about the shadow banks, you know, they really count on selling a portion of those loans to, you know, your Fannie Mae and your Freddie Mac, which are government backed grants, right? And if they, when you think about government backed, you know, they also have to manage their risk, right? So they're only going to take on a certain amount of loans that are risky that they buy. So, you know, when you think about how many, you know, lower and middle class Americans that can't afford mortgages, it's just not sustainable.
And it just is so frustrating because you see families. I was just talking to my mom and dad the other day while I'm here in Houston because we grew up in the projects. Nobody before my parents had ever owned a home. Everybody that I knew was in a rental property or in the projects. And my mother and father worked second jobs, saved up enough money, and got the first home of anybody in my family. And so then after that, other relatives saw their example and they were able to mm-hmm. buy homes. And so now my mother and father have paid off their house. And, you know, somebody sold a house on the block for like $900,000. They paid $45,000 for this house. And I'm thinking wow. The generational wealth that is going to be transferred to me and my siblings, you know, once they decide to leave that house or sell it, you know, it is just, you know, I think of, you know, what if they couldn't? What if these barriers had been up? You know, we would have never got out the projects. They would never have this property that they were able to take out a second mortgage to put us all through school. And, you know, and those type of things that are done for, you know, to benefit the entire family. That's not going to take place if we have these new rules in place. It's going to make it worse.
100%. And then that's just it. You know, you hit it. You hit the nail on the coffin, right? It's that lack of generational wealth, right? We know that a lot of minorities and lower middle class Americans are, you know, generations behind the wealth gap, right? And we know that that puts a lot of strain, especially when you think about this new proposal and banks pulling back lending from riskier individuals that are trying to get home ownership. If you don't have the cash on hand, you know, it's going to be really hard. And you think about, mm-hmm. you know, the generational wealth that you talked about, you know, buying a home is kind of that first ticket to being able to build that generational wealth and have liquidity to build cash. And if you can't do that, it's tough. You know, when you think about our U.S. economy right now, you know, there's much uncertainty, you know, inflation's increasing, groceries, gas prices, rent, et cetera, you know, those everyday items that individuals need are extremely high in comparison to where they have been historically, you know, which is, you know, reducing the ability to get credit. And then you think about also the fact that now student loans are back, paying those are restarting, mm-hmm. right? So when you think about student loans, and it's kind of a chicken and the egg, right? They say go to college, right, and get a degree. It's going to be able to create more wealth, right? But then what you're not thinking about is, what if you can't get a job in that field and you're not able to make enough money to be able to pay that debt back, right? You don't have the residual money to build that cash reserve to be able to have that ability to purchase a home, right? So you have to depend on debt, right? So it's really a chicken and the egg, and I can only see this increasing with this Basel III endgame proposal.
What do you recommend to people out there who are listening, who are saying, you know what, every time I take one step forward, they push me two steps back. You know, I'm right where I need to be, and there's some new rules that may hurt home buyers from communities of color, cash-strapped folks who just want that piece of American dream, who have been doing all the things right, and now here comes some new rules that will make it harder for them to own a home.
Absolutely. You know, and I think it depends, you know, across various age groups and where you are in your state of life, right? But when you think about individuals that are just coming out of college, you know, if you can stay with your parents for a couple of years, right, as hard as that may be when you've been so independent for 4 years or however long, right, that may be tough. But if you can stay with your parents for a couple of years and just build that cash reserve, that's going to put you ahead. If you can go and, you know, find maybe 3-4 friends that you trust, and you guys can go in and buy a duplex together and rent maybe the other side of it out, right, and start to build in that way. You know, those are ways that young Americans can really start to build that cash reserve and build that net worth and hopefully close the wealth divide. You know, if you're an individual that, you know, you're past that, right, and you're married or you're single and you have kids and you're just making it, right, you know, any little bit that you can put aside, right, you know, really trying to pay down your debt as much as possible, that's going to be important, right? Because you know, there was a study that said before, you know, the Fed hiked interest rates, 2.4 million Black Americans were deemed mortgage ready based on their credit history and income, according to research by Freddie Mac. You know, now we fast forward, you know, after interest rates have been hiked, and now that stands at less than 1 million, according to the National Fair Housing Alliance, which did a follow-up analysis. So when you think about how that has declined tremendously over the past couple of years, you know, and Black home loan applicants in the 50 largest metropolitan markets are 1.6 times more likely to be denied a home loan. You know, it just puts a lot of strain on really achieving that American dream. So, you know, the things you can do is try to pay down debt as much as you can, you know, whatever you can. Maybe you need to pick up another job if you can, right? To create some secondary income, right, to be able to build your residual. So those are the things that I recommend in this moment. But, you know, we do have some trying times coming here from an economical standpoint.
Now, there are folks who are texting me in real time. They are sending me emails. They're like, who is this guy? I like what he's talking about. You mentioned that he has a podcast. Please tell these people, because they think that I'm not like really on the show. So they are actually texting me, expecting me to respond and email them. And I'm trying to talk to you. So you have to let folks know where they can find you, because they want to get information about your podcast. Because this is the thing that I love about the work that you do, and I call it work, but it's fun for you when you talk numbers and you talk money and you talk finances. You break it down and explain it so that people like me, who it's not our profession, we can understand it. And so
tell us
about the podcast and where we can find it, and give us all the details.
Yeah, absolutely. So the podcast is called Financially Fit. My name is Andre Creighton, as Shaletta said. And, you know, really the base of the podcast is everything is from, you know, my opinion, you know, things that I've faced throughout my life growing now from, you know, a college grad, an MBA to now being a CFO of a company. And, you know, I haven't always done things right by my money. And I, the reason for the name of Financially Fit is because you can think of it much like an individual who's going to work out, right? You have that goal. And January 1st, there's going to be a lot of people at the gym saying, hey, I'm trying to get fit in 2024, right? And, you know, a lot of people expect that to happen quickly, right? And what I always say is it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, right? You aren't going to get those abs overnight. You aren't going to get those biceps overnight, right? The same is true with your financial journey. You aren't going to become a millionaire overnight. You aren't going to become extremely financial stable and have that net worth that you may be dreaming of overnight. It truly takes doing the same things over and over and over, the right things, and being maniacal towards your goals. And if you can do that, you will be successful and you will be on your way to being financially fit. So I encourage you to join, you know, and listen to the podcast. You can find it on Amazon, Spotify, you know, pretty much most of the podcasts. Platforms you can find the podcast. So, you know, I help you every week step through a lot of different things. We just talked about budgeting. So if you haven't done that for 2024, if you haven't thought about your budget, that's what you should be thinking about with a couple of days left before 2024 begins.
I tell you what, you keep me honest, because I had not done a budget in I don't know how long. And when you did that podcast on budget, I had to call all the kids in. I'm like, okay, we need to look at where we're going on vacation, how much we plan on spending. This is not an endless faucet. There's not money growing on that tree outside. We have to set some goals and make sure we achieve those goals so that, you know, if the country shuts down again, you know, if we have another pandemic, we can have that cash reserve, that cash on hand in case all hell breaks loose. So I just want to thank you for what you've done to help my family get our finances in order. And just by listening to the podcast, you're helping so many other people as well. Thank you so much for being on the show, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well, Shaletta. Thank you so much for having me.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
I tell you, we are going into a new year. So many new opportunities, so many new projects. One of the things that I want to do is I want to make some new friends. I want to meet some new people. I had breakfast this morning. As you know, my family and I are in Houston visiting extended friends and family for the holidays. And I had breakfast this morning before the show with some folks that I have known since I was in my early 20s. And I love each and every one of them. And I said, you know, I want to meet some new folks. I want to meet some new friends. And I'm so grateful that 2023 brought some new friends into my life. And one of them is Andre Creighton. He is the host of the Financially Fit podcast and the CFO of Turn Signal, one of the hottest apps in the country. And, you know, just meeting Andre and learning from him and, you know, with all of his financial knowledge and expertise and getting to know his bride and his new baby, it has just been a blessing to my life. just, you know, having his youthful and knowledgeable energy. I tell you, sometimes I'm around him and after that, I feel like I could just go another 10 or 15 miles because I'm like, you know what? He's just brought so much new and young energy into my old lady life. I love it. And so I was so grateful that he's joining us at a holiday weekend to come on the show to give us some of his brain matter because I saw a story in the Washington Post that said banks are facing tougher capital requirements. And those new rules are going to increase even the racial home ownership gap that is already wide enough in this country. And so, Andre, I'm so glad you're joining us, courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Welcome to the Shaletta Show. You are no stranger. You have been here before, but this is a new topic that we'll be discussing. And I want you to talk to me about this home ownership gap.
Yeah. First of all, you know, thank you, Shaletta, for having me, you know, on the show. And, you know, this is a particular topic that I'm really excited to discuss. You know, I share those same sentiments that you had said about me. You've definitely been a favorable person in my life as well. And I look forward to the opportunity here to discuss. So, you know, as Shaletta said, you know, Washington Post came out about 3 weeks ago with a really, really interesting article that discussed how the racial ownership gap, home ownership gap, is widening, and you know, new rules are making it worse, right? And really, what they're getting down to is Basel III endgame proposal. So, what Basel does is there's Basel I, II, and III, and Basel I focuses on credit risk. Basel II focuses on the operational, strategic, and those risks, and then Basel III is really focusing on that liquidity risk. And that's what we really want to talk about today. So with banks, they are facing a lot of requirements and things that are starting to put a little bit of strain on their liquidity. And now with Basel III endgame proposal, you know, banks might be required to have 20% more capital that they have to keep on hand, which, mm-hmm. you know, is going to result in increased borrowing costs for lower and middle class Americans. And, you know, when you think about holistically who that affects, right, you think about lower and middle class Americans, you think about those that are first time home buyers, you think about small business owners and farmers, right, the people that truly are relying on debt and credit to be able to purchase equipment for their businesses, the people that are required that don't have a lot of cash on hand, so they're mm-hmm. they're hoping to, you know, leverage debt to be able to buy their first home. You know, those are the people that are truly going to be affected by this. You know,
and this is the thing. You know, we already have so many things stacked against us. This home ownership gap is wide. When we start thinking about rules, Andre, we start thinking about things that are going to help alleviate those barriers. But these rules seem to be increasing the barriers.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there are some things out there that, you know, can help alleviate that. You know, there's non-traditional bank lending. So it's what they call the shadow banks, right? You know, shadow banks are those that are not necessarily backed by deposits. So you can think of, you know, some places like Quicken Loans, places like that, that maybe not, you know, it's not a traditional bank and people aren't depositing funds into that company or organization, right? But, you know, and that's a good opportunity for people that, you know, might not be able to get lending through a bank, but, you know, that comes with the cost too, right? You're going to see higher interest rates. You know, and also, you know, it's really a temporary fix. You know, I think about the shadow banks, you know, they really count on selling a portion of those loans to, you know, your Fannie Mae and your Freddie Mac, which are government backed grants, right? And if they, when you think about government backed, you know, they also have to manage their risk, right? So they're only going to take on a certain amount of loans that are risky that they buy. So, you know, when you think about how many, you know, lower and middle class Americans that can't afford mortgages, it's just not sustainable.
And it's so frustrating because you see families. I was just talking to my mom and dad the other day while I'm here in Houston, because we grew up in the projects. Nobody before my parents had ever owned a home. Everybody that I knew was in a rental property or in the projects. And my mother and father worked second jobs, saved up enough money, and got the first home of anybody in my family. And so then after that, other relatives saw their example and they were able to buy homes. And so now my mother and father have paid off their house. And, you know, somebody sold a house on the block for like $900,000. They paid $45,000 for this house. And I'm thinking the generational wealth that is going to be transferred to me and my siblings, you know, once they decide to leave that house or sell it, you know, it is just, you know, I think of, you know, what if they couldn't? What if these barriers had been up? You know, we would have never got out the projects. They would never have this property that they were able to take out a second mortgage to put us all through school. And, you know, and those type of things that are done for, you know, to benefit the entire family. That's not going to take place if we have these new rules in place. It's going to make it worse.
100%. And then that's just it. You know, you hit it. You hit the nail on the coffin, right? It's that lack of generational wealth, right? We know that a lot of minorities and lower middle class Americans are, you know, generations behind the wealth gap, right? And we know that that puts a lot of strain, especially when you think about this new proposal and banks pulling back lending from riskier individuals that are trying to get home ownership. If you don't have the cash on hand, you know, it's going to be really hard. And you think about, mm-hmm. you know, the generational wealth that you talked about, you know, buying a home is kind of that first ticket to being able to build that generational wealth and have liquidity to build cash. And if you can't do that, it's tough. You know, when we think about our U.S. economy right now, you know, there's much uncertainty, you know, inflation's increasing, groceries, gas prices, rent, et cetera, you know, those everyday items that individuals need are extremely high in comparison to where they have been historically, you know, which is, you know, reducing the ability to get credit. And then you think about also the fact that now student loans are back, paying those are restarting, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So when you think about student loans, and it's kind of a chicken and the egg, right? They say go to college, right, and get a degree. It's going to be able to create more wealth, right? But then what you're not thinking about is what if you can't get a job in that field and you're not able to make enough money to be able to pay that debt back, right? You don't have the residual money to build that cash reserve to be able to have that ability to purchase a home, right? So you have to depend on debt, right? So it's really a chicken and the egg, and I can only see this increasing with this Basel III endgame proposal.
What do you recommend to people out there who are listening, who are saying, you know what, every time I take one step forward, they push me two steps back. You know, I'm right where I need to be, and there's some new rules that may hurt home buyers from communities of color, cash-strapped folks who just want that piece of American dream, who have been doing all the things right. And now here comes some new rules that will make it harder for them to own a home.
Absolutely. You know, and I think it depends, you know, across various age groups and where you are in your state of life, right? But when you think about individuals that are just coming out of college, you know, if you can stay with your parents for a couple of years, right, as hard as that may be when you've been so independent for 4 years, or however long, right? That may be tough, but if you can stay with your parents for a couple of years and just build that cash reserve, that's going to put you ahead. If you can go and, you know, find maybe 3-4 friends that you trust, and you guys can go in and buy a duplex together and rent maybe the other side of it out, right? And start to build in that way. You know, those are ways that young Americans can really start to build that cash reserve and build that net worth. And hopefully close the wealth divide. You know, if you're an individual that, you know, you're past that, right, and you're married or you're single and you have kids and you're just making it, right? You know, any little bit that you can put aside, right? You know, really trying to pay down your debt as much as possible. That's going to be important, right? Because mm-hmm. you know, there was a study that said before, you know, the Fed's hiked interest rates, 2.4 million Black Americans were deemed mortgage ready based on their credit history and income, according to research by Freddie Mac. You know, now we fast forward, you know, after interest rates have been hiked, and now that stands at less than 1 million, according to the National Fair Housing Alliance, which did a follow-up analysis. So when you think about how that has declined tremendously over the past couple of years, you know, and Black home loan applicants in the 50 largest metropolitan markets are 1.6 times more likely to be denied a home loan. You know, it just puts a lot of strain on really achieving that American dream. So, you know, the things you can do is try to pay down debt as much as you can, you know, whatever you can. Maybe you need to pick up another job if you can, right? To create some secondary income, right, to be able to build your residual. So those are the things that I recommend in this moment. But, you know, we do have some trying times coming here from an economical standpoint.
Now, there are folks who are texting me in real time. They are sending me emails. They're like, who is this guy? I like what he's talking about. You mentioned that he has a podcast. Please tell these people, because they think that I'm not like really on the show. So they are actually texting me, expecting me to respond and email them. And I'm trying to talk to you. So you have to let folks know where they can find you, because they want to get information about your podcast. Because this is the thing that I love about the work that you do, and I call it work, but it's fun for you when you talk numbers and you talk money and you talk finances. You break it down and explain it so that people like me, who it's not our profession, we can understand it. And so tell us about the podcast and where we can find it, and give us all the details.
Yeah, absolutely. So the podcast is called Financially Fit. My name is Andre Creighton, as Shaletta said. And, you know, really the base of the podcast is everything is from, you know, my opinion, you know, things that I've faced throughout my life growing now from, you know, a college grad, an MBA to now being a CFO of a company. And, you know, I haven't always done things right by my money. And the reason for the name of Financially Fit is because you can think of it much like an individual who's going to work out, right? You have that goal. And January 1st, there's going to be a lot of people at the gym saying, hey, I'm trying to get fit in 2024, right? And, you know, a lot of people expect that to happen quickly, right? And what I always say is it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, right? You aren't going to get those abs overnight. You aren't going to get those biceps overnight, right? The same is true with your financial journey. You aren't going to become a millionaire overnight. You aren't going to become extremely financially stable and have that net worth that you may be dreaming of overnight. It truly takes doing the same things over and over and over, the right things, and be maniacal towards your goals. And if you can do that, you will be successful and you will be on your way to being financially fit. So I encourage you to join, you know, and listen to the podcast. You can find it on Amazon, Spotify, you know, pretty much most of the podcast platforms you can find the podcast. So, you know, I help you every week step through a lot of different things. We just talked about budgeting. So if you haven't done that, for 2024, if you haven't thought about your budget, that's what you should be thinking about with a couple of days left before 2024 begins.
I tell you what, you keep me honest, because I had not done a budget in I don't know how long. And when you did that podcast on budget, I had to call all the kids in. I'm like, okay, we need to look at where we're going on vacation, how much we plan on spending. This is not an endless faucet. There's not money growing on that tree outside. We have to set some goals and make sure we achieve those goals so that, you know, if the country shuts down again, you know, if we have another pandemic, we can have that cash reserve, that cash on hand in case all hell breaks loose. So I just want to thank you for what you've done to help my family get our finances in order. And just by listening to the podcast, you're helping so many other people as well. Thank you so much for being on the show, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well, Shaletta. Thank you so much for having me.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.